Welcome to the Financial Finish Line with Greg Lavelle, founder of RetirementAdvisors.net. With over 25 years of helping clients with pre- and post-retirement income planning, Greg is committed to always putting your needs first to help ensure you have a stable, reliable retirement. His comprehensive system for wealth accumulation and tax planning allows him to uncover the right strategies for you while at the same time preserving and protecting your wealth. Greg leverages his expertise in retirement income planning, including Social Security, Medicare, and long-term care, so he can assist you in mapping out the retirement income strategy that's right for you. And now, here's your host of the Financial Finish Line, Greg Lavelle.
Hello again, and thank you for joining us for the Financial Finish Line, a show built with your retirement goals in mind at retirementadvisors.net. That's ADVISERS.net. I'm dedicated to serving your needs. I'm independent, which means you're not alone. I'm here to help you with your goals, to reach and push through that financial finish line, so to speak. So we have a great show for you today, packed full of thoughtful information that I believe will help you start the process of thinking about your own retirement goals, whether you're heading into or already in retirement. But first, let me introduce my co-host, Tracy Davis. Thank you, Tracy, for being with us today on the Financial Finish Line.
Thank you, Greg, and a big thank you to all of our listeners with us today. It's always the right time to begin planning for the future, so we're glad you've joined us.
Agreed. Some people may think that it's too late for them to develop a plan for income in retirement, particularly if you're already in retirement, but I disagree. You may have put it off, but the time really is now to take charge of your financial future. I know it's cliche, but the saying is true. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So don't put off today what can massively benefit you in the future. We have a great subject to work through today. We're going to be talking about something that is probably one of the most difficult things when it comes to talking about planning retirement income. And that is how much money I'm going to need in retirement. And so if you're not retired yet, it's usually the answer of, I don't know. And so we have excellent tools I use to help you determine how much money you'll need in retirement. And I thought we would touch on that and talk about several areas that you need to remember as you're preparing that budget. I'll be talking to people and asking them some questions to run some reports. And I'll ask, so how much do you think you'll need in retirement? And it's often like a deer in the headlights for a response. So we have to talk about that for a while. And have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? So I think it'll be a really neat show, and I think it's something that people will get a lot of.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great discussion. A lot of people do wonder, how much am I going to need in retirement? That's a huge question that I'm sure is probably at the top of the list of questions you get, right, Greg?
It really is. It's probably the most difficult question to answer, and there's a formula that many folks in the retirement income planning industry adhere to, and that's to budget for 80% of what you live on when you're still working. But you know, that's like, if you're 65, we should all be taking this or that particular medicine. That's just such a generic theory and I think is almost useless. And I think going through these areas to budget for will really help out. I really do.
So where do you want to begin with this then? How do we do this? How do we figure out where we're at and where we're going?
Well, I think the first thing you think about is what's going to be different in retirement. And the first thing I think about is I won't be driving to work every day. Some of us live close to work. Some have to commute a long way. But if you're driving into a major city like Atlanta or San Francisco or whatever, and it's an hour and a half commute each way and burning that gas and you're putting wear and tear on the car and that type of thing, still driving back and forth to work. And so you can be significant when you think about the number of miles you're putting on a car. All changes, more repairs, of course, more gasoline as it continues going up. And so I think that something to look at is what goes away and what's added. So what goes away is commute and wear and tear on the car. So that right there, I think, can be kind of backed out of a budget. That's kind of where we start. And we may move into kind of a biggie. and this is housing. So one of the questions I ask people is, what's going to change with your housing when you retire? And sometimes it's nothing. But in most cases, these people are still in the house where they raised four kids, and it's four bedrooms upstairs, and maybe the master is not on the main level, and maybe it's got a basement, and it has a huge yard, and all this kind of stuff. And so they've got this house that they bought 30 years ago for $100,000 is now worth $350,000, for example. And so housing is a big deal when it comes to retirement planning. And if they have not thought about that, they're going to have to discuss it as to what changes will be there and how that can affect what they're doing. And then how much money are they going to get from their old house? Are they going to put that in? In the new house, do they want a mortgage where the mortgages are so cheap right now? You know, I don't mind having a 2 or 3% mortgage and keeping my money and earning a higher percentage than that. I don't know, whatever. That's part of the discussion. So I think housing is a big part of it.
You're listening to The Financial Finish Line with Greg Lavelle, and we've been discussing one key component to mapping out a successful retirement journey, and that's creating an accurate budget for your expenses in retirement. You've already touched on a couple of key items like reduction in your work commute and potential housing changes. What's next?
The next one is healthcare, in particular the cost of healthcare. A lot of people may have the misconception that when they turn 65 years old and they qualify for Medicare, all their healthcare needs will be covered and it'll be cheap. So let's talk about Medicare for a minute. If you look at your check while you're working, it has a Medicare deduction on it. So you're paying into the Medicare system as you work. When you retire, Medicare Part A primarily covers inpatient care in a hospital and skilled nursing facility care. You usually don't pay a monthly premium for Medicare Part A coverage if you or your spouse paid Medicare taxes for a certain amount of time while working. Part B, however, is what takes care of other medical charges like doctor visits, x-rays, things like that. You can expect to pay about $170 a month per person, whereas maybe before this, your company may have been paying for your health insurance cost or most of it. So now you have an additional $170 a month coming out, and that does go up pretty much every year, while the cost of living adjustment may go up on Social Security. So you've got that, and then we still aren't talking about Part D, which is a prescription drug coverage, which I've seen anywhere to $10 to $50 a month per person. And then you're going to want some kind of Medigap or Medicare supplement to take care of most of your deductibles and coinsurance. While Medicare pays your healthcare bills primarily, a Medigap plan simply covers certain cost-sharing expenses required by Medicare, such as copayments or deductibles. In addition, Medigap insurance plans may help with other costs that Medicare doesn't cover, such as Medicare Part B, excess charges, or emergency medical coverage when you're traveling outside of the country. And of course, there is a monthly cost for a Medigap policy, generally ranging from $125 to $180 a month, depending on your age. So that's healthcare and Medicare premiums, and I've not even gotten into deductibles yet or common out-of-pocket expenses. That's something else. And we've also seen this for people in their late 70s and 80s. It seems like their biggest cost right now is dentistry, hearing aids, things like that, that aren't covered by Medicare. They go to the dentist to get, for example, a crown that could cost a couple $1,000s, and these are people on a fixed income, and that may be coming out of pocket unless you have opted for Medicare Part C, otherwise known as an Advantage plan. And these other expenses seem to get more expensive all the time.
I can't imagine living on a fixed income and having to pay for eyeglasses out of pocket. And you're not even getting into long-term care at this point. That's a whole different discussion. We're really just talking about what everybody's going to have to pay, and that's Medicare and deductibles and things like that. And healthcare is complicated and expensive. And I think a lot of people out there listening might be thinking that once I hit 65 and retire, Medicare will take care of it and I don't need to worry about it anymore. No, it's more than that. What's next on the list of items to consider when structuring a budget for retirement?
Yeah, so the next one I was going to mention is taxes. And the reason I mentioned taxes primarily is the fact that most people have saved their money in a retirement savings plan, like a 401k, 403b, or IRA. You get the great tax deduction when you put the money in and it grows tax-free. But at some point, you got to pay the piper, so to speak. And so when you turn 72, you have to start taking money out of those accounts. Even before age 72, if you're having to live on some of that 401k and IRA money, which many people will have to, that's fully taxable unless some or all of it is a Roth IRA. And so a lot of people believe that they'll be in a lower tax bracket when they retire, but that may not be the case. Seldom do I see this because most people want the same income in retirement or close to it to maintain their lifestyle and to be able to do all the things they want to do, like travel and buy hearing aids and everything else. If you're near the same level and yet your income is mostly taxable, you're not getting your tax benefit by putting money into a 401k anymore. So I think taxes can be underestimated in retirement for sure.
Yeah, taxes. That's a big one. So healthcare, taxes, housing. Wow, there's three heavy hitters right there in estimating your retirement budget. It's no wonder people should consult a financial professional who works with people in or approaching retirement. You shouldn't do this alone. There's a lot to take into consideration here. I think that's really important. And if our listeners do want to get a hold of you, they can set up a no-cost, no-obligation consultation to see where they're at and get a plan in place. What's that number they can call?
Call 888-637-3847 and take advantage of our free retirement readiness assessment. We could do a face-to-face meeting or we can connect virtually. Either way, I'd love to hear from you. 888-637-3847. That's 888-637-3847 or connect with us online at retirementadvisors.net. And that's retirementadvisers.net. I think the website is great. You could start your free retirement readiness assessment right there. So check it out, retirementadvisors.net.
All right, that sounds great. Now, where are we on the list of things we need to plan for our budget in retirement?
Well, I think the next one is food, and this is one that we have to be realistic about because a lot of people think that they'll get senior discounts and we're going to eat at home more. The reality is that that's not usually the case. Most people think we're not working and so we're home. We can cook all of our meals here. But for most people, since they've been doing that for decades, they opt to eat out more than they did before retirement. So you could actually spend more in retirement with that by going out more often. Now, you may save some again if you're doing senior discounts and you're not eating lunch out at work. You could save money. That's something you'll need to have a discussion about. But with more free time, we find that people want to hang out with their friends and go over to that new restaurant and to this thing or the other. So you really need to have a discussion about how that's going to look.
That's huge in estimating a retirement budget. What's next on the list?
Well, I'm going to group together the next two items, and they are entertainment and travel. So you've got more time on your hands, and so therefore you want to enjoy life. The reason you retired was to do stuff. It could be hiking, which is not very expensive. It could be museums or movies, which is a little bit more expensive. It could be traveling to Europe, which is a lot more expensive. It could be a combination of all of that. And so what do you see yourself doing? You're not working 40 hours a week anymore. So what are you doing with your time? What if you're playing golf three times a week? That's not cheap. What if you've joined a travel club? What if you're doing all of these things? Again, it's an individual situation. That's why I can't tell somebody, hey, you're going to spend 5% of your budget on entertainment. We don't know that. That's why we can have that discussion and explore the questions like, what are you going to do with your free time? What's your purpose in life? What's your hobbies? Are you going to turn your hobbies into something to make money with? There's all kinds of variables to consider.
Okay, so that's entertainment and travel, a big part of things that can change in retirement, and typically it's because we have more time on our hands. Greg, what do you have for us next?
Well, the big one is grandchildren. And so right after travel, it's spending time with my grandchildren, and that means take them out to places. That means buying them things. Maybe you want to set up a college fund for your grandchildren. Maybe you want to help them with their education. Or again, going back to travel, if they live far out of state and you want to go see them once a quarter, that's travel cost. If you have a few children and they have a few children, they all live in different parts of the country, you could see how that can get pretty expensive. But that's what I hear, spoil the grandchildren, and that many times means, what can I buy them? What can I give them? So I think grandchildren could be a big one. And then the last one is related to that, and it's leaving a legacy. Do you want to try to save money to leave children and grandchildren and leave something for them? You may be putting money away to do that as well. So that kind of ties into grandchildren. We're almost out of time today, but before we go, I'd like to share with you some information from an article that we recently read entitled 9 Signs That You're Not Ready to Retire.
Yeah, Greg, I think there's 2 kinds of people in the world, those in retirement and those heading for retirement. And that's all of us, right? We're all heading that way if we're not already there.
I agree. So I've prepared a list of 9 signs that you're not financially ready to retire. Let's get started. The first is struggling to pay current bills. Unfortunately, the bills you currently have don't go away in retirement. Like we said earlier, sometimes our spending actually increases in retirement. That's the first sign. So the second sign that it might not be the right time to retire is if you have a high level of debt. Debt is never a good thing, and this is especially true in retirement. If what you currently earn goes mainly in paying debt, that's a sign that you're not ready to retire.
Next on the list is having no plan for future major expenses. Major expenses include unexpected healthcare needs, like we were talking about earlier, paying for things like dental work, hearing aids. Those need to be accounted for. Also, automobiles and housing repairs fall into that category as well.
Also on that list, if you don't know what your Social Security benefit will be, you're probably not ready to retire. Social Security is a significant part of a retirement income plan, and you need to know what you can expect to be receiving. It's difficult to put together a comprehensive retirement income plan, like I do at retirementadvisors.net, without having this information. Next, do a monthly financial plan. Just like we talked about at the beginning of this show, if you don't know what money you have is coming in and going out, you're not ready to retire. You need to have that budget before heading into retirement. Next, no long-term financial plan. Do you know where you get when you don't pick a destination? Nowhere. You may have an idea of your destination, but are missing the directions on how to get there. That's a problem.
Here's another big one that so often goes overlooked. Not accounting for inflation. A dollar today won't go as far 10, 20, 30 years from now. This is particularly top of mind to all of us right now. Just, you know, put some gas in your car and you'll feel the inflation, right? And a companion to this is taxes. Having a good strategy for addressing your taxes in retirement is a must for any comprehensive retirement income plan.
We're almost at the end of our list. Here's 8, not rebalancing your portfolio. When you're in your working years, your portfolio may be positioned for growth. Retirement requires a different approach and a different portfolio model. We spend our working years in what we call the accumulation phase of life. In retirement, we transition to the decumulation phase of life, and we then need to live off what we've accumulated. It's a very different structure than what we've been doing for the last 3 to 4 decades. And the final sign that you're not ready to retire is retirement worries you. If you're getting that uneasy feeling that you don't have everything in order and you're approaching retirement in the near future, as in 5 to 10 years, it's time to take action. I recommend that you get with your financial professional soon to begin the conversation about retirement income planning. If your financial professional doesn't offer a plan to address most, if not all, of these areas that can deeply affect your retirement lifestyle, I invite you to contact me at retirementadvisors.net at 888-637-3847 and set up an appointment to get started with your free retirement readiness assessment today.
Greg, thank you so much for sharing with us from all of your years of experience. This has given our listeners so many things to consider that maybe they haven't even thought about before. And we want to encourage you to work with a professional that has a focus on helping people heading into and through their retirement journey.
I see from the clock that we're almost out of time, but before we have to go, I'd like to bring you one more item that plays a large part of many people's plan for income in retirement. I'm guessing that most of you remember the year 1978. A lot happened that year. Sony introduced the Walkman. The movie Grease was a summer blockbuster. Pete Rose got hit number 3,000. Something else happened that probably didn't get into the headlines. The most popular employer-sponsored retirement plan in the United States was born, the 401k. But here we are, decades later, and not all workers have access to one or may want to participate in one, leaving them to seek out alternatives to save for retirement. So, what else is there out there? Well, there certainly are other alternatives, but before we get to those, let's take a look at how the 401k works. The setup is pretty simple. With a 401k, you contribute pre-tax money from your paycheck every month. Contributions are tax deductible from your annual income. The money is automatically deducted from your paycheck and invested in the investments you choose from the plan's options. Even better, your employer may match some percentage of your contributions. You receive the proceeds of the investments, if any, when you retire.
So the 401k sounds like the greatest thing out there. Why would someone want to put their investable dollars anywhere else?
There are some reasons, but first, I want to comment on the employer matching feature. If you're participating in a 401k and not taking full advantage of the employer match, you're leaving free money on the table. At a minimum, you should always contribute up to the amount of that employer match if you can. Beyond that matching amount, there's no advantage for a dollar placed in your qualified 401k plan over some alternative qualified retirement savings plan. Some people may not like the 401k because they feel like it has high fees. Some may not care for the risk and instability of gains. Others may feel that there are not enough investment choices offered through their employer's 401k plan. Another major concern of contributing to a traditional 401k is that you may be building up a future tax liability for yourself. These are all valid concerns.
What are some alternatives or supplements to the 401k that people can use to save for their retirement?
First is a traditional individual retirement account, or IRA. This is one of the most popular ways a person can save for retirement, regardless of what other retirement plans they have. The traditional IRA allows a wage earner to put away money in an account that allows the money to grow tax-free. You'll pay taxes only when you withdraw the money at retirement. Plus, contributions to the account can be deducted from your taxable income, so you avoid taxes on that income today. One of the drawbacks, depending on your situation, could be the contribution limits. Also, the entire contribution may not be tax deductible based on your income. Next, we have the Roth IRA. This was developed in 1998, creating a tax-free stream of income as a powerful retirement tool. It has two key differences from the traditional IRA. The Roth IRA allows you to grow your money tax-free, but you'll be able to withdraw any of the money at retirement completely tax-free as well, assuming you are 59 and a half and the account has been open for at least 5 years. In exchange for this benefit, you'll contribute money on an after-tax basis. In other words, you don't get any tax savings today from the Roth IRA. Another benefit is the flexibility to use the contributions for some qualified expenses, such as college expenses, without a penalty. The account can be passed to your heirs, and there are no capital gains on asset sales. The drawbacks to the Roth IRA are, of course, you're giving up the tax benefit today for the promise of tax-free withdrawals at retirement, and contributions have an annual maximum.
Okay, so some 401k alternatives so far are traditional IRAs and Roth IRAs. What else is out there?
Well, let's not forget about our listeners who are self-employed. If you're self-employed or a business owner, you may also have the option to open a simplified employee pension, known as a SEP IRA, if you qualify. SEP IRAs operate much like traditional IRAs in terms of tax advantages and investment options. They have the additional benefit of higher contribution limits. For a self-employed individual, contributions are limited to 25% of your net earnings from self-employment, up to $61,000 for 2022. Next are health savings accounts. HSAs offer a huge benefit for those who are able to hold on to some money in their account until they hit retirement age. In exchange for making a contribution to your HSA, you'll get a tax deduction today, and the interest or other earnings on the account are tax-free. And distributions from the account are tax-free if you use the account to pay for qualified medical expenses. But another benefit for retirees occurs once you hit age 65. That's when you can avoid the 20% penalty for non-medical uses of the plan. And the plan otherwise functions much like a traditional IRA, with taxes owed on the withdrawal. One important difference, unlike a traditional IRA, the HSA has no minimum required distributions.
I never would have thought of an HSA being used for retirement savings. Is that it for 401k alternatives?
Well, no, many people choose to place money they're setting aside for retirement into qualified annuities. This can be another strategy if you've maxed out your company match amount in your 401k and still want to set money aside for retirement. Fixed annuities issued by insurance companies is a form of savings that will be paid out to the investor through a series of recurring payments. The investor pays a lump sum of money to the insurer, who then invests your money in bonds. For immediate annuities, you'll start receiving money right away. Deferred annuities start payouts later, which gives your money more time to grow. There are no contribution limits to deferred annuities.
Before we go, why don't you let our listeners know how they can get a hold of you to get their budget in place with a free retirement readiness assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. Give us a call today at 888-637-3847, and I'll get you started on your free retirement readiness assessment. That's 888-63-RETIRE. Or you can visit our website, which is retirementadvisors.net, and get started right there by setting an appointment. I look forward to hearing from you soon.
Securities offered through Client One Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Retirement Advisors and Client One Securities, LLC are not affiliated. Licensed insurance professional. Respond and learn how financial products, including life insurance and annuities, can be used in various planning strategies for retirement. This material has been prepared for informational and educational purposes only. It is not intended to provide and should not be relied upon for accounting, legal, tax, or investment advice. Licensed to sell insurance in the following states: Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Maine. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. No investment strategy can guarantee a profit or protect against loss in a period of declining values. Any reference to protection benefits or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investment products. Insurance and annuity products are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company.